There's a war going on. And that warfare is a clashing of the kingdom of light with the kingdom of darkness. Radiating out of Paralimonial, St. Margaret Mary saw, radiating out of every one of Jesus' wounds was light. She saw light pouring from his hands, radiating from his feet, but especially as he drew back his robe, the light was flaming from his heart. Jesus is the King of light. Jesus is the King of love. Jesus is the King of truth. Now, we have to get this straight. When Ignatius talked about the clash of kings, he came from a world of where kings fought kings. And he was a member of an army. And so much of his language was tied up with kings and warfare and battles. And that was the time when maybe this king was up on this hill and this king was up on this hill. And those kings were coming, they were gathering armies that would come and now clash in open warfare. And so that's what he had in mind when he talks about the king who is Jesus as the King of light is on a head-on collision with the king of Satan, who is the captain of the king of darkness. And they are hitting on a head-on collision. That battle is a battle that ever since our first parents were overcome by the wicked prince of darkness, Satan. We have all, the whole world has fallen under his power. That in Genesis 3, our mother, Eve, and our father, Adam, broke with God. Now, very seldom do we hear that very clearly spoken, because we have, you know, there must be these ancient civilizations that had some goodness to them. No, we reject all that. That's not true at all. That's a lot of fabrication. When the fall came, all of mankind did not come except from one set of parents, Adam and Eve. All the races, so you might be black and you're listening to this, you belong to that family. There is only one family that came from Adam and Eve. You might be Asian. You might be from China or from Vietnam or Korea. You came from that family. You might be brown and from South America, or you might be red-skinned, or whatever color you might be. Or you might be a Caucasian white or a Caucasian black from India. You came from that one set of parents. That set of parents had copulation and they had children and children and children. That's what spread out through the whole world. That process probably took, you know, I really believe that it took about 100,000 years. I also believe in my own study and from what I've learned, that probably that original pair came from Africa. Anyway, they went all over the world for that process to take place. But every one of them came under what happened in Genesis 3. They fell from God and they broke with God. They fell from grace. They were going to die. And that came under the power of Satan. So Eve sees her first son, Cain, kill his brother. Murder comes in. You think same-sex attraction is new? There's Sodom and Gomorrah right away. The pus that emanated goes into every human being. All the tribes, all the peoples, all over the world, every single human being is broken from God, cannot, there's nothing, we're bankrupt. We can never get back to God. But God promised us that he would give us a redeemer. We came under the power of Satan, and he really has control over the whole world and its people. And we were going to die. Death came into the world. Now, as that goes on for all those centuries, millennia, and myriads of time, eons of time pass, and finally, there is this glimmer of hope, because God said he would send us a Savior. And it's going to come through a specific family. It's going to be the Jews. The father of the faith is Abraham, and then on down. Was Abraham with pus? He sure was. And all the prophets promised it. Were they all? All of them. They were full of pus. And every single human being was tainted, going to die. And there was a hopelessness, except there was a hope. And finally, there was one. And she was conceived without the pus. Mother Teresa gave me a way of looking at it. And she asked me to go to West Africa, where I saw, for the first time in my human life, a whole West Africa being wiped out by AIDS. A father and mother would have intercourse, and their child would be born with AIDS. That's what original sin is. It's spiritual AIDS. We all are under its power. And so everyone in the world has spiritual AIDS, except Mary. And then she gives birth to the Savior, Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Mary is there, this first sinless woman, and she hears from God. She doesn't know that God's a Trinity. The first one to know that God has a son was Mary. Mary. Mary's a Jewess. She prays to God. Yahweh. Yahweh. Yes, Mary. Hail Mary, you're full of grace. Yes, this is a strange greeting. I have a son. What? Yes. I want him to be your son. I can't. I've given myself totally to you, this magnificent woman, brilliant. She knows that no human being can come into the world without intercourse with another human being. And I've given myself to you. My whole vow of my being is to you. No, Mary, it's not the way it's going to be. I have a third person who is God, and he's a spirit. He's going to overshadow you. The one to be born of you is the Son of God and your son, and his name is Jesus. Well, he grows up, and what do we do with him? We kill him. He suffers, he dies, and he rises. Is that salvation? That's salvation for a human who happens to be the Son of God. Jesus saves us from sin, never a sinner, from death, he conquers death, and conquers Satan. That's great. Is that what this is all about? No. Nothing happens to those men that he was talking to and preparing. They were all rockheads. Peter, he didn't change. Thomas, bring your hands here. He saw Jesus risen from the dead. Nothing happened for him. The amazing thing was that he had a plan. And my plan is that I go back to heaven and I'll send the Holy Spirit. I came to suffer and die and rise. Now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that you can establish the church through baptism. Baptism will put in you me. I'll be in you. You'll be in me. And so on Pentecost, the apostles baptized those first 3,000. That was the first century, the Acts of the Apostles. Fast forward, 21st century, I, and all of us who are here, the baptized, the confirmed, the ordained, our bishops, our pope, are all the people of God that have this power from Jesus, are embattled with Satan because he still hasn't given up. We're on a head-on clash. Every one of us has a power in this world, not only to save our souls, but also to save the souls of others. Each of us is Christ in the world today. And we are facing an opponent. And in every human heart, there's a collision between the force of light and the force of darkness, the force of life and the force of death, the force of lies and the force of truth. They're constantly battling for my mind and my soul, but that also goes throughout the whole world. So, is this battle today that's taking place here as we talk from Paralimonial, is it in France? Yes. Is the enemy that the Muslims are going to overtake France, and France is going to become, as supposed to be, going to become a Islamic state in the year 2050? Maybe. But are Muslims the enemy? No. Muslims are not the enemy. And are the communists the enemy? Because when there's one-fifth of this world's population is under communism, atheistic communism, no church, no God, the God that they hate, God, communists do. And one out of every five persons is under that rule. And North Vietnam is under that rule. And all the kinds of power that communism has, Cuba, it's all over. And it's ready to take over Venezuela and South America. And they have a plan. Are they the enemy? I don't think so. It's still the same old enemy, the devil, the world, and sin. That's the conquest that's going on. That's the head-on battle. And so some of the greatest enemies that we have here in the Western world are abortion, pornography, this whole self-centeredness, self against God, egoism. That's where the battle is, in the individual heart and in the heart of the entire world. And so at Paralimonial, I find myself here ready and willing to take on the battle again. Jesus has called me not only to save my soul, but Jesus has called me and all of those who came here in this World Congress for the Sacred Heart to love, to conquer with love. Love is greater than hate. You can't make me hate you because you hate me. But I have a power to overcome your love. I have a power through love. I remember a man who was alcoholic in my parish. And it was such a demonstration for me. He came home one night and he was drunk. And he was choking his wife because she wouldn't have sex with him. And he began to beat her. And he said to her, "Don't you know how much I hate you?" And she said, "Don't you know how much I love you?" And that was the last night of his life that he ever got drunk. He said to me later, "I felt like the anvil. I felt like the anvil had beaten me, as I continued to beat against it as a hammer. It overcame me. The love was greater than his hate. The power of that love is so powerful. It can overcome any obstacle. See, that's what love is. Love is the greatest force in the world. Hate is not the greatest force. The devil will never stop existing because he will continue to hate. And he won't continue, he won't stop existing because Jesus will continue to love. And that's what creates the fury in the devil. He is continually to be loved by God, and he can't stop hating God because he has chosen to do so. So that those two forces are constantly going, clashing with one another. The force of darkness and the force of light. They're taking place here in this world and here in every heart. The clash of the kingdoms. There is a place where there is a king and eternal happiness, and that's heaven. And as we look at that image of St. Margaret Mary, and as we are here today to think of the peace and eternal happiness of heaven, and to end this little discussion on the eternity of love, I'd just like to introduce a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, here in this little globe, as it is in heaven. Amen.